Well, hello and welcome to Turning Points and Transformations. This is Brian Rice from the Order of the Friends of Yeshua coming to you here Wednesday evening. I'm coming from the East Coast, upstate New York. Can't complain. It's a beautiful foliage peak season for the leaves changing. Got a chance to go up on a ski lift the other day with my family and got to see everything in full effect, everything in its primordial nature, not the dying phase necessarily, but the maturing phase, the maturation, the final stages of this wonderful life of these leaves that cover the trees, and God is conscious of every leaf, is that God tending to your every need at every given moment. Well, I have to be grateful, and I have to send out gratitude to you for your continued listenership, especially last week. Last week was a kind of fumbled around a little bit. I was a little out of sorts. I apologize about that. But I'm back, and, you know, it's a new day, and we have new things to talk about. And specifically, in this episode, the evolution of grace here. Tonight, we will talk about how we can maintain grace in ungraceful situations. And there's a way to do it. There is. And that, how? You're probably asking how. I mean, how when the electric's going to get shut off in my house, or how when the heat bill is $500 a month and we just can't afford it, how am I going to maintain grace then? Well, attitude and altitude are two things, two factors in the whole thing, the whole equation. And maintaining a solid sense of self, in having firm foundation and rootedness in the awareness of the presence of light, the light continuum, the truth continuum, having yourself connected at the core to the primordial, in the first, in the right relationship of oneness. I've been speaking of oneness quite a bit lately. I realize that. And, well, why? Well, because all is one. And separation is a delusion, an illusion that we perpetuate. And we get caught up in struggle. And we get caught up in desire. And we get caught up in striving. And we get caught up in trying to claim, in trying to ascend, in trying to be merit-worthy, trying to attain merit, that is, rather. And, you know, the whole striving and struggling is an endless pursuit of goals that we can never allow ourselves to be satisfied with. And when we're, that's the separation state, the state of separation spoken of in many non-dual traditions, oneness traditions. Separation is a state of suffering. It perpetuates a state of suffering. And when we are in it, we're in it. Muck up to our neck. We're in thick. And how do we get out? How do we even pretend to be able to arise from, or rise above, or transcend situations that have us down, that get us down, that beat us down, that take us into places deep within our subconscious, deep within the subterranean, deep within the darkness of the shadow side of the self, the false self? What do we do when we're down there? What do we do when we're down in the basement of our unconscious, of the subconscious world, of that place that we hide? I'm not going to be a self-proclaimed expert. I'm not going to be a self-proclaimed master. I'm not going to be a self-proclaimed anything. Not a sage or a seer or a guru or anything like that. The minute we become a master, the minute we become a master teacher, the minute we become or we're labeled as a guru, or the minute we're labeled as an academic, as a scholar, as a PhD, as not that there's anything wrong with having a PhD or being a scholar or being a sage or being any of the things that I've mentioned. But what I've come to realize in my struggles, in my pursuit of endless, needless suffering, perpetuating through non-stop seeking, through continuous desire, self-grasping desire-bound awareness, or lack of awareness, there that is. Through that, I've realized the hard way that we, the only hell that there is the one that we make, and that is so true. We would, if we were really honest with ourselves, admit that we can, in moments where we fail to realize the unitive oneness, the absolute continuity of truth, the absolute revelation of peace, of the absolute and undefiled moment of glory. When we're not in that, when we have given in to Maya or illusion or delusion or the basic cockamamie ideas of relativity, we get caught in a web of self-confusion. When we're in that confusion and when we're in that state and then we can't get out of that state, it's a horrid feeling. It's like what Bible people like to talk about the mashing of teeth. That's what ungraceful situations are. They are when you are in your own hell, when you are in your own self-convoluted, self-created, macabre, some fictitious idea about who you think you are. Usually the entire spectrum of suffering, okay, the entire spectrum of suffering has much to do with not our state of consciousness, so to speak, not just our state of consciousness, but more so, our failure to connect with hope. Hope that endures all things. And I may have digressed and I may have went off, may have not even completed a sentence in the way I wanted to complete it, but I'm speaking from a deep place of realization, and I've had some many realizations as of late in my own life that I like to share and I like to draw on, because I think that it's a necessary thing to be humbled and to realize that grace doesn't always come about through striving. Grace is a gift. I'm not going to give the textbook definition of grace. Grace simply is you at your best. That doesn't mean you with a straight A 4.0 average in college, cum laude, magna cum laude, whatever you want to call it, whatever situation, the promotion, the vice president position of a corporation, the CEO, becoming the CEO, the heralded CEO. It's none of those things. It's nothing that you can do. There's nothing you can do to attain grace. It's a free gift. And I'm not speaking of just Christian grace. I'm speaking of grace universal. Grace that penetrates the deepest aspect of who we are. Grace that is free. It's the song at the beginning of the song at the beginning of the show speaks about free. What does it mean to be free? Well, we are literally caught in what I was singing about in the song, in Masks of Legion, the many. Let's forget about typical talks about possession and typical understandings of paranormal even, for a few minutes. And let's just talk about life. What is life? Is it a burden? Or is it, to you, something to be lived? And I ask this because we've all been there. We've all been to the pits, into the bowels of matter-word hell, so to speak. And it's not pleasant to be down where the subterranean dwells. We tend to live in our lower chakras. Chakras are energy centers, vortices that consciousness flows in and out of, life force flows in and out of. And we tend to live... just not that there's anything wrong with the lower chakras. There's absolutely everything right about the chakras in living in balance and harmony in the lower triangle, as it's called in Kundalini Yoga. Now, and that would be the root chakra, the Swadhisthana chakra, root chakra being Muladhara chakra, the sacral chakra being Swadhisthana chakra, and the Manipura chakra being the navel chakra. And you can debate all you want about where the placements of the navel and or solar plexus is, that chakra, where you want to place it, that's up to you. We're not here to discuss chakras tonight. We're talking about how to maintain dignity and integrity and peace and grace when everything seems to be going wrong. Can you, when 5 screaming kids clawing and dragging at, clawing and gripping for your feet, are tearing at you, spitting at you, biting at you, hitting you, can you, when you are being mauled by a household of animals that want to be fed and they want their needs to be met right then, there, and on the spot, and you're tired, and you've spent your whole day working or planning or creating or manifesting or living, or simply trying to survive the day? Folks, making the most out of a terrible situation is nothing more than simply allowing the energy, the life force that is within us, that manifests within us, that dwells within us, to rise, to go from a downward spiral to an upward pull. And what does this? Well, there's meditation that can raise consciousness, raise awareness, that can raise the sense of self-worth, that can raise you up out of misery and continued struggle. Striving in self-grasping. In Gnosticism, we speak of the demiurge. What is that? Well, it's another concept for... It depends on what kind of Gnosticism you're talking about, first of all. It's not a lesson in Gnosticism tonight either. But the demiurge or the archontic powers that rule, that seem to grab us, that the emotional states of unhappiness, of all the things that we've been talking about from self-grasping, that stem from self-grasping, from continuous striving, continuous craving. I think we know a thing or two about craving and habit and fixation and addiction. But do we know anything about freedom? Do we know anything about being totally free, totally honest, totally pure, totally ready, totally available, totally here, totally now? Do we know a thing about it? Can you make doing the dishes a living meditation? Can you make changing the baby's diaper that has exploded all over the place a meditation? Can you clean up the vomit on the floor and make that a meditation, the vomit from an animal that's very sick? Or can you change an adult's diaper, someone who can't do that for themselves? Can you make that a living meditation? These are moments where we can actively seek, not seek, that's a terrible word to use, seek and strive, anything like that. I'm trying to get away from that. If you can allow moments that seem ungraceful to manifest as light transmissions, moments of eureka, moments of euphoria, moments of bliss, then you are enlightened, or you are on the road to enlightenment. But I think, like I was saying earlier, the minute you say that you're enlightened, the minute you say that you're there, the minute you say you're God-realized, the minute you say that you've self-realized, the minute you say that you've reached samadhi or oneness or self-realization, as I already said, or the minute you say, I am full of grace, the minute you say I'm saved, the minute you say I am there, I've reached it, you become unteachable. And I'm speaking from experience here, folks. From experience. I've had awakening moments, but the moments of pure joy and utter bliss that comes from the heavens, they don't last here on earth when we are in the ego. Now, some yogis will say, some yogis can say that you can be in nirvikalpa samadhi, which is a state of permanent oneness with God. You can be in that state and still be alive and in the body. It's not that I disagree with that, but I've come to realize that you, when you, like, speaking in terms of what I know about, what I teach, what I share with the world, Kundalini yoga, when I work with the Kundalini energy, why one day are you able to raise it up and be in a position of seeming glory, in the position of seeming unalterable, unneeding to alter, this sensation of bliss that has become of you? And I give props, I give such tremendous gratitude to those master teachers, those teachers who, the sages of the ages, who have inspired me and been able to allow me to see that there is a way to live in an elevated state, in a superconscious state, in a state more, when I say superconscious, I mean more aware than aware. I just realized I was talking and I had my eyes closed, and I was about 1 foot away from the microphone. So hopefully you can hear me, and if you couldn't before, you can now. I'm not working with a script here. I hardly ever do that. Why is that? I think that the spirit goes where it must and does and wishes to, and it just does its thing, and the words will be on your lips when it's necessary. But talking about the state of permanent oneness, I think it's possible, but I think the moment you're there, there's no realization of not being there. There's everything is in an unadulterated state, pure potential. Everything is in its actuality, undefiled, full of light. You don't need to do anything to anything or anyone. You don't need to change a thing. You accept. You totally allow reality to be as it is. But most of us, myself included, we fall into Maya, into delusion, into illusion. We fall into the web of relativity, where the circuitry that we connect to in our brains and in our hardware and in the supercomputers that we are, back into comparison. That's one of the agendas of the ego. There's that word, ego. What can we do about the ego? Well, first of all, I have learned that you need to have an ego in order to transcend an ego. And you need to learn what disgrace is, or you need to know, and you need to have experiences of being in ungraceful situations in order to know what true grace is. When I speak of grace, I speak of all those elevated states of awareness. Moments peak consciousness, moments of higher consciousness, they mean nothing. They mean nothing. They don't mean a damn thing. A damn thing. Unless you can love. That's as real as it gets. You can be this, you can be that, you can have this, you can have that, you can be the million-dollar athlete, the star, celebrity. But if you don't love, if you don't allow things to be simply as they are, without needing to change things, without needing to manipulate things, without needing to doctor anything, or alter anything, until you're able to experience that love, that peace, that allowance, you are not free, my friends. You are not free. And I speak and I include myself in this, because we're all messed up in it. We're all taken down by this. We all get defeated. It's what you do the moment after, the moment you realize what I've been doing all these years, all these days, weeks, months, doesn't work anymore. It's when you hit rock bottom, which we've talked about in past episodes. It's when you have gotten to your worst that you realize, you are able to realize that you cannot script, as was said by a sage that I have been influenced by in my life, you cannot script your own salvation, so to speak. People say you can manifest, people say you can visualize, you can bring about, you can attract things, The Secret, all that. That's true. We bring about situations in our life. We attract things magnetically. We're like a magnetic force field. We bring things into our field of awareness, field of perception. We bring things into our realm. And we co-create our experiences. That is true. I digressed and lost my train of thought. But no, the wise know not to speak. Or don't need to speak. The wisest don't need to speak about their peak experiences in a bragging fashion. They don't need to put out their trophies, their Oscars. They don't need to show off in front of their peers. They don't need to be the top dog all the time. Unless you have been in moments where things just are falling apart, I don't think you can truly appreciate some of the greatest good things life has to offer. I think it's just a facade, and I think everything is just surface until you have experienced the depths of your own suffering. I'm not saying suffering is a prerequisite for enlightenment or anything like that. You can have magical, mystical experiences. I've had them. So what? So what? I've had to say to myself, get over yourself. Well, what does that mean? Get over yourself. It means to rise above. It means to transcend the self-concocted ideas about who you think you are. We subject ourselves to some of the most intense experiences life has to offer. We get caught up in emotionality. We get caught up you hear people say, well, I was still caught up in the moment. There's a difference between being caught up in the moment, being entangled or being ensnared in your own web of self-confusion and delusion. And being in the moment. Being caught up in the moment suggests that there is something altered in your awareness. There's something profane about it. Something slanted, something bent, something contorted, something distorted about it. You know, I don't have the answer. But if you can accept reality, as I've tried to say in previous shows, for what it is right now, no matter what it is, if you can accept reality and accept yourself, you're on the road, you're on the path of transformation. You've had a breakthrough. You have had your breakthrough moment. And that's what the show is about. The show is about encouraging you to have a breakthrough, to have that breakthrough experience. And then to transform your life thereafter because of inspiration. Hopefully that you receive. Consolation. So, what is our best defense? Against experiencing the worst side of our nature, the horrid, the futile. I think it has a little bit to do with getting a grip, having a handle on the human experience. Learning to be present, always present. So, what I want to say then, I think in conclusion, is every moment you've wanted to give up on yourself, when you've wanted to throw in the towel, when you've wanted to say, just can't take it anymore, how much more of this can I take, why me, poor me, self-pitying gets you nowhere. The question we're supposed to ask in situations of dire need, in situations where things seem to be ungrateful, the question is not why, but what. What can arise? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to see? Not why, but what. So I end with this prayer. Transcendent God, you lead us down ways of the unknown. And into the unknown we go with faith. Sometimes it's deep. Sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it's scary. But when we cling to your dark cloak, in the darkness. We will rise to see the light on the day, in that moment of realization that I am forever one with you, in peace, in tranquility, in perfect wholeness. Good night, and thank you for joining me once again. You've been very faithful, very, very, very generous.
You are the one. Please anoint me.